So if you would, turn with me to Zechariah 2. Zechariah 2. I just want to pick up here, and there's some things that the Lord has brought to my attention, and I just want to kind of share, and just we'll take off from there. But I think today will probably be one of the more unusual services that you've seen. Hallelujah. All right. So be ready. Be ready. This is a participatory type of service, so be ready. Glory to God. And you know, it's always easier to do it and then get forgiven later, so. Set expectations. You know, it's not sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you set the expectation, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, and if you're online, we should have, there was a little video glitch earlier. You should have that fixed, or at least fixed for the moment. And apologies for what was happening last week and, you know, the week before that. So, but it should hopefully be good. We'll see. The promises are that it is. All right. Go to glory. So we've been casting some internet devils out. So hallelujah. Glory to God. But you can join me in praying for that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Zechariah 2 and 5. I love this scripture. I love this scripture ever since before I knew it was a scripture. For I declare, says the Lord, I will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. And see, he's talking to Israel now. He's talking to Jerusalem specifically. He's talking to Jerusalem, and what he's basically been having going on is that he's, you know, for 70 years they've been exiled. And so Jerusalem at this point was just a broken down city with broken down walls and nobody living in it. It was a place where wild animals roamed and did what they wanted in the streets because there was nobody to habitate the city. And so this is a situation that Zechariah is speaking to right now. He's speaking to those who are returning or about to return. But what he's wanting, what he's seeing is that the Lord, what he's requiring is for you to repent and turn and then return. To return back into the city. And so he says here, he says, verse 7, he says, Ho Zion, escape you who are living with the daughter of Babylon. He's talking to all those who are still in captivity because at that moment Cyrus had released them, but nobody went. Can you imagine being released from your captivity, but you don't go? A long time ago, Debbie, I don't remember her last name. She had a, it wasn't our normal Debbie, but she had a, well, I don't know. Can we call Debbie normal? Hello, Debbie. Hello. Okay. Let me see if I got any comments on the net yet. So anyway, but she had a dream, and in the dream, it was this, that there was a person who was in a prison, and all of a sudden, as they were sitting there in this prison, the door went open. And they noticed that as they looked down the row, all the doors had come open. And this person got up and ran out, but as they ran out, they saw some other things that disturbed them, because what they saw was that some of them just sat there and didn't move. And some of them got up and closed the door. And so this is a situation that the Lord is addressing through Zechariah. He's saying that you've been released to leave your captivity, but you're not going. And what he's telling them is that, well, I want it to be a wall of fire around and the glory within. He said this, what he's telling them, he's painting them a picture that's different than what they see. He's giving them a graphic so they can understand what he sees, because all they see is a broken down city with broken down walls. They don't see anywhere to return to. They don't see anything captivating about it, any reason to go back. But the Lord's saying, I'm seeing a city that's so overflowing with people and so overflowing with animals and so overflowing with wealth that I have to be the new border around it, because there's nothing, it can encapsulate everything that I have planned for it. Because I'm going to be the glory sitting in the middle of it. I'm welcoming you back into a fellowship with me that you haven't had for 70 years. I'm welcoming you into a prosperity that you haven't seen for 70 years, but you have to come in order to get there. And you have to come with the right heart. It's not just even coming, because there were a few that came. There were a few that came out of all of them. They said there was about 10,000 who actually came, but a lot of those were coming simply because they were already in trouble over there, so they needed to leave. That's not coming with the right heart. Because he was looking for people who would rebuild his temple, a people who had it in their heart to rebuild the temple. And so he's calling him and calling him back into the city. He's calling him into a place of prosperity and a place of presence. But they didn't see it. They didn't see it yet. Hallelujah. Oh. And so he's seeing this metropolis overflowing. Like it would in the days of a Passover, where you have all the people of the city and then hundreds of thousands of people more show up and they have to just make a camp around the outside. He's saying, this is what I see for Jerusalem again. This is my heart for you. My heart is to watch over you. My heart is to be with you. My heart is to touch you and to prosper you. That's what he's wanting to do. And it's easy. It's easy to judge them for not going. But see, sometimes, you know, we get really comfortable in the middle of our sin, in the middle of our pain. We get really comfortable in things that are less than what God called us to be. Why? Because I can just sit here on the couch and eat bonbons and, or whatever. I don't even know what a bonbon is, but eat chips. Yeah. It's what? It's an ice cream? With a hard chocolate around it? That sounds pretty good. I didn't know, but okay. Here, I want you to notice something before I jump out of this section here. Okay, verse 9 says, Behold, I will wave my hand over them, and they will be plunder for their slaves. He's saying, I'm going to plunder Babylon on your behalf if you will come and just meet with me. If you'll come and turn your heart and be willing to return to what I'm calling you to, I will actually plunder the enemy. In other words, he says, I'm going to cause you to exact a kingdom price from the one who's been holding you in bondage. We need to have an expectation of exacting a kingdom price. Not just our own greed, but a kingdom price. We need to exact a kingdom price. Because why? Because when the devil's been harassing you, guess what? He's stealing from you. Whether it's finances, whether it's your life or your, it doesn't matter what it is. If he's harassing you, he's stealing something from you that didn't belong to him. He might just be your peace, but it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it belongs to you, not to him. And it's time to expect him to have to return it and return you a bonus. To make you full again. To make you an inheritor, an heir again. Anytime that I have defined a situation where I'm having to fight with the enemy and pray into something and pray over something, I expect there to be a kingdom price released. I expect at the end of it, when I get the victory, that my testimony is going to change something for somebody. I expect at the end of it that the enemy is going to have to release some salvations or release some healings or release some deliverance for somebody. Why? Because he was messing with me, and now when you mess with me, you got to return it. So you have to have an expectation that when the enemy does something, you are capable and you are qualified to get that kingdom prize. Amen? So that's a little incentive for us to step out of what's comfortable. It's an incentive for us to step out of what is the way it always has been. Sometimes it's hard to see out of the way it's always been. You know, a lack of vision is the one thing that really causes us to not step out of what we need to step out of. If we don't have a vision for the future. Not having a vision will cause us to hold back from jumping into what he's called you to jump into. Fear. You know, sometimes we stay locked down in our situation. We stay locked down in that thing that's uncomfortable, but it's not so uncomfortable that we want to really get out because we're afraid of what might be on the other side. We can't see ourselves on the other side of it yet. When you see yourself on the other side of it, you go, oh, I can't tell you how many things I've faced, and after I faced it, it was so easy. When I look backwards, there was no bump there. But before I did it, it looked like a mountain that I couldn't even get over. But when I turned around and looked back, it was just I can't even see there's a speed bump. It was a little glitch. But fear causes us, I can tell you, I have somebody that I consider a friend, and I know that they know what their issue is. I'm not looking at anybody in particular. The person is not in this room. Hallelujah. Well, the person is not in this. Sorry, I just had to. You spoke up at the wrong moment. So they know what their issue is, but fear keeps them from facing it. They don't want to address it. And as long as they allow fear, see, fear now has become the enemy. Fear is the Babylon, that's the same as pulling the cage closed. Hallelujah. Sometimes we know, but we feel trapped to make a difference. We feel trapped to make a change. We're aware that there's a problem, but we're more aware of the enemy and his roaring than we are of the Lord and his salvation. And so that's when we shy back. And the Lord, what does the Lord say about those who step back, who shy back from, shrink back? Has no pleasure in him. Why? Because he can't engage them in the overcoming yet. He can't engage us in the overcoming until we make the first move. Hallelujah. Okay. Glory to God. So, hallelujah. All that to lead up to this. If you would turn with me to Romans 6. We're going to Romans 6 now. I don't know that I need to address everything that I was going to address there because Carlos did it in the offering. Thank you, Carlos. Carlos was like, he was all over my message and he didn't even know it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, we don't want to think about it like this, but here's what it says, Romans 6, verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one you obey? Either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness. So in other words, whatever I choose to engage, whatever I choose to cooperate with, whatever I come into agreement with, that's the one I'm a slave to. One of the things that I want you to understand is that a conviction of sin is only there to keep you in freedom, to help you and assist you to find your freedom, to help you and assist you to walk in your freedom. It's never for condemnation, and it's never for creating a place of shame and guilt. It's only there to release you in truth. Because what? It's truth that sets us free. Right, Rosalinda? Truth sets us free. And so in the journey in your life, what I want to encourage you to do is repentance is a necessary thing, but don't camp there. In the old days, I used to see some people who came to the altar and laid themselves on the altar in repentance every week. Every week, week after week after week after week after week. If you got that much sin in your life, no, the deal is that they weren't ever stepping into the freedom that was purchased for them already. They were never coming to a place of recognizing what Christ did for them and stepping into the truth of that. They were focusing on what's wrong with me instead of focusing on what God has already done. And when you focus on what God has already done, now you can become the heir. Now you can step into what's right. But if you only step in and you only focus on me, a worthless sinner, how do you ever get out of that? But if you focus on me, the righteous heir, if you focus on the heir that God has created, the one he's called to, is called as a son, now you have somewhere to go that causes you to rise above that place. The more you focus on being a son, the more you focus on being an heir, the more you focus on that new nature, the more you're going to rise up. Amen. That's what he's calling us to do. I think in this house, gone are the days when we consider ourselves just a filthy sinner. Saved by grace, barely. I think we've been taught well enough to know better than that. But at the same time, there are some times that the enemy speaks to us and says, hey, you know what you did yesterday. And we shrink back. We've had lots of internet issues. And so last Monday, I called the AT&T. Now, let me tell you something. Calling AT&T, because this is what I had to do in my professional life for so long, it's like kryptonite, okay? Be specific and vivid. So it's like my kryptonite. It is, I go into a conversation with them already expecting the worst and already assuming that I'm have some stupid person telling me things that I already know and not listening to what I have to say. But see, actually on Monday it was different because I made five phone calls. And where their answering machine refused to connect me to a person. And so by the fifth call, I'm screaming at the answering machine. And I'm going, why am I getting myself so upset? But you got to understand, do not hang up on me. I need to talk to a person. I want to talk to a person. Don't click. Again. Five times. My My meter for that is like at zero times, much less five times. I was being persecuted. I didn't do well. I did not represent my home team here very well in that encounter, I can tell you. I got in the flesh. The recorder got the best of me, and it was a stupid recorder. Yeah, somewhere over at AT&T, they have recordings that I'd soon never got released. So, where was I? How did I get there? AT&T trespasses with recorders. Thankfully, we can't camp on repentance because I'm not ready. Hallelujah. So this event happened. See, sometimes we get caught up and we allow this place to tell us who we are. See, that one event could derail me for a long time if I allowed it. But I got off the phone and I realized I did not need to do that. And then I allowed God to begin to disminister into my heart. Repentance was necessary. It was involved. But also turning my heart and allowing him to minister to me. Recognizing that, Papa, I don't want to run from you. I just bring it to you. Because I did wrong. I got to bring it to you. And when you do that, it shifts everything. When you do that, there's no shame. There's no guilt. There's none of that condemnation and all those things that come with it. You just make an intentional turn and say, Papa, I'm going to engage you. Why? Because Jesus already paid the price for my sin. Thank you, Jesus. He paid the price for my sin. So why would I beat myself up over it any more than what I need to do to just say, Lord, I messed up. And let's go forward. Amen? Sometimes we can continue rehearsing our hurts. I have a friend of mine who, he heard and he knew the word. But he never dwelt on it and never allowed the light from it to come into his heart. You can know the word. You can hear the word a lot. But if you're not letting the light come from it, then you're not changing by it. And ultimately, because he would continually rehearse his wounds and rehearse everything that he saw wrong around him, his judgments, he was then cutting himself off. He rehearsed one judgment after another, after another, after another. And sometimes he had legitimate things that were legitimate issues. And other times they were just simply of his own creation. He created offenses as well as had offenses given to him. But when he did that, when he rehearsed it, what he ultimately talked himself into was a place where he's essentially now not quite an atheist, but fully agnostic. And attacking Christianity. Why? Because the places of hurt overtook the places of joy. But all that could have been avoided if he just recognized what he was doing and began to focus on the things that he had to be thankful for and focused on what God had actually purchased for him. Instead of looking at something that he felt he was owed, but didn't happen. Glory? Okay. So, the fact that you may not perfectly express who Christ is doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. Man, I should have heard amens from everybody. The fact that you don't perfectly express in this one moment who Christ is doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. this means that we haven't converted that part yet. We haven't surrendered that part yet. We haven't done yet everything that God wants us to see. We haven't learned or appropriated what God has for us in this moment or this place. Amen? So now, I'm going to just invite my guest. We have a guest here today. I'm going to invite my guest. I'm going to invite our old nature to come out and join us here. See, our old nature has a bit of an attitude. Don't get too carried away, our old nature. See, that's the problem is with an old nature is you can't quite. Wow, dude, seriously? You can't. You don't get any control over the old nature. And they like to whisper and breathe in your ear. And here's the deal. When you start listening to the old nature, you start doing what the old nature is telling you to do. That's how you wind up on a phone call to AT&T and you're yelling. Because, see, he's the one who's responsible. It wasn't me. It was the old nature who got loose again. And because I didn't know what to do with him in that situation. I didn't keep him in there. It is pretty ugly. But see, he's basically a zombie here. Okay, because a zombie is a dead creature that continues to live. I had to actually look it up because I don't watch those sort of things. So I had to look up and see what a zombie actually was. But he continues to live. He's a walking corpse, a compulsive cannibal who eats your brain. So that kind of affects how you think. And then he infects others. You know how he infects others? It kind of looks like this. It looks like this. He says, he's like, Victoria, do you know what Kim did to me? Do you know how she disrespected me? You really, really need to understand. You need to pray with me about this. You need to pray with me about this because, see, I need Kim to change, and I need her to be different. So, can we pray about this? And so while this is happening, see, then the old nature, not this. The old nature, see, you also need to understand that Lana's backsliding.
Oh, no.
See?
It's terrible.
It is terrible, isn't it?
Yes.
Now what are we going to do? Yeah. Now, see, I leave, but your old nature already infected her.
Yeah.
And you just created a cancer. Y'all need to really pay attention up here. Our old man is spellbound, causing us to be spellbound. But here is the thing. You have the authority to tell him to die. You have the authority to tell him to put him down. But see, every time you engage some gossip, every time you engage negativity, well, if you start thinking, I'm just nothing, man, I'm just nothing. I'm worthless. I'm no good. Remember that old song? Was it, you're no good. Baby, you're no good. See, the old man, he loves that. It's his motto. And he's just going to continue eating your brain the more you agree with the enemy. The more you agree with what he has to say, he just continues to eat your brain. Get away from my brain. Okay. Here we go. It's hard to stay. It's hard to stay on task here with him walking around. He's pretty convincing. He's pretty convincing. Into the river. Get her. Yeah. But see, whenever the pastor's been talking about rehearsing, okay? But you need to know that there's two kinds of rehearsing. Are you rehearsing what the enemy has, or are you rehearsing what the Lord has? Because when you start rehearsing what the Lord has, he's going to be put down. He's going to be buried, put back where he belongs. When you rehearse what the enemy has, when you start saying the things that he's saying into your ear, or whispering the things that he is all encouraging you to do, or just getting mad and just releasing him on somebody, then you have this. Yeah, I maybe should have selected a different zombie. This is really good at what he's doing. Hallelujah. He is. So, when we engage negative emotion, when we engage our negative thought systems, you know, the ones that you grew up because, you know, somebody told you that you were stupid, or you were too fat, or you were too lazy, or you're too this, or you do that. When you allow those things to run through your head and play like an old tape over and over, you're empowering this thing. Now, do we want to trust our faith to this thing? Do we want to trust our faith to God? Do we want to trust our faith to our new nature and to the heir that God created us to be? We want to trust our faith to the new nature. Because, see, there's a thing where the new nature gets to come and say, and see, and if you're a young minister, allow the person, the man of the house, pastor of the house, to be the good guy, okay? So we entrust our new nature. Our new nature gets to speak to the zombie, to speak and release the heirship, to speak and release sonship, and to speak and release all that the Father has. Go for it, new nature.
The first thing we're going to do is we're going to put him down. Say, I am a new creation. All things have become new. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk out into the Jordan with this guy right here. You're following me. Take my hand. We're going to walk out into the Jordan. What you do is while you're walking out in the Jordan, you ignore him. You ignore everything he's saying. You ignore him because sometimes he's going to make you feel as ugly as he really is. He's going to make you feel that. He's going to be whispering. He's going to be waving that bat around. And he's going to make you feel like that. But when you get out of the Jordan, the first thing you do, I see.
I've been
crucified.
You have been crucified.
You have been buried.
Buried.
I see that, Father. You have been planted to get down together. I see that you're under my feet.
Yeah.
You have dominion over you this day. Today I bury you. And today I see that Father separated you as far as the east from the west. He has no more remembrance of you. You will remain in the Jordan. God is ready to utter into the affliction. You will not rise a second time. And then you ascend up into the Father of lights. And then, Father, we thank you. I am now a new creation, holy and without blame before you in love. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable in your sight. Today, there's no condemning sentences from that old man. Today, there's no accusation against that old man. He is buried. I am a bona fide new creation found in you now. Not having my own righteousness, but the robe, the royalty that you give me. The glorious robe of white that you give me this day. I am clothed in the glory now, in the new creation. The second you come out of the Jordan, you do not address him anymore. You are now addressing who you are in the creation of God. The new creation, now you're getting clothed and wrapping up in the glory of God. From glory to glory. Say glory to glory. Glory to glory. You address all. You can literally take the robe and walk in the midst of the courts of God and say, I am holy, without blame. Every condemning sentence, the old man, justified, washed, cleansed. Every accusation severed, washed, and broken. Until you can walk fully justified before God by faith, justified freely in His glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, see, you just, no, you'll stay down there. We got you down. You got to stay down. See, let me give you some scripture for that, because he rattled through it. He says, Romans 6 and 4 says, therefore we've been buried with him through baptism in death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we might too walk in newness of life. In other words, he was buried in that moment. We get to walk in newness of life. It is our given already to walk in the newness of life. And so when we begin to see that, we begin to... Now, let me ask you, is there any sense in sending him to charm school? Is there any reason to send him to obedience school? Anger management. Is that going to change the nature of what he is? Wow. It's not going to change who he is in one iota. And so all the effort that we put into religious observances to try to put the old man down or to change the old man and make him nice enough that we can get around is not going to work. We need to take it into the kingdom. Take him into the kingdom. Take him into the Jordan and let him get washed from you, separated from you. Take him in and go ascend where he can't ascend. And see, there's actually scripture for that, Colossians 2. Colossians 3, no, 2. So Colossians 2:12 says this, having been buried with him in baptism, you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. In other words, you've buried it. And now, if you've been buried, I want you to skip the 3:1 because it's all one thought. Paul goes off, he's saying things in 2:12 there, and then he goes off on a little tangent and he comes back to that thought. It really should have all been one chapter. And 3:1 says this, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above and not on the things that are on the earth. Where is this thing? It's on the earth. It's in the earth. It should be staying, remaining. Die! Die! I remember when Sharon said that one time we were saying something about the old man. She said, die! See that he's dead. I like that. Yes. See that he's dead. See that he's dead. And quit giving your brain to him. Quit giving your thoughts, your imagination to what he says. Quit giving your agreement to what he says. That's the thing that it's so easy. Because we're raised in the world, we tend to just do the things of the world quite naturally. But if we'll give ourselves that same ease of access to the things of the kingdom will change how we see it and change how we react to it. Glory? Glory. So if you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when it's hidden with Christ, that means we're no longer subject to disappointment. If you're feeling disappointed, it's because you put your hope in something that was not what God was releasing. When we put our hope, in other words, disappointment comes from our interactions with man or ourself. It doesn't come from God. So when we begin to connect ourselves to Him, now we will not be responding in disappointment, but we'll be responding in hope, love, and joy, because that's what the kingdom has to offer you. That guy can't offer that. Hallelujah. So for me, I want to be with the one who said he wants me to be with him. For me, I want to be with the one who is the author and the finisher of my faith. He's the author and the finisher. He's the finisher. Why? Why is that necessary? Because guess what? I can't do it by myself. And if I get all involved in trying to unravel myself from AT&T just by myself, I'm probably going to fall short. But if I can trust in God, if I put my faith in Him, the unraveling comes naturally. Why? Because all I have to do is just come and I see Him. And as I see Him, I see this laid down. As I see Him, I see my future and what He's called me into. As I see Him, I see someone who's in a place where the enemy no longer has access. As I see Him. Remember, Jesus is going to stand with the heir. Be the heir. Be the heir. So, surround yourself. Surround yourself with the fire. Surround yourself. See yourself surrounded with the fire of God. See yourself surrounded with the fire of God, with the glory of God filling you up, with the glory of God confirming who you are in Christ, with the glory of God confirming your destiny, with the glory of God confirming the whole place that He's releasing you into, because He's releasing you into a prosperity that goes beyond your understanding. He's releasing you into a prosperity that's going to break the boundaries, going to break the limits, it's going to break the balls that have held you constrained, and it's going to be releasing, and He will be the one who's your protection. He will be the one who's your new border. He will be the one who's expanding with you as you expand. He will be the one who's walking with you as you walk, and He will be the one who's transforming you as this happens, and that guy stays buried in that process. Amen. 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 We talked about displacement, seeing God and allowing Him to fill. When God fills an area, when He fills an area, truly filling it with Him, there's nothing left. There's nothing left for the enemy to attach himself to. He has nowhere to get in. He has no access to your brain anymore. He has no access to your heart anymore. He has no access to your emotions anymore. When your emotions are being swayed by something, it's only because you gave Him access by not allowing that to be filled with who Christ is.